We continue our study of 1 John this morning. If you want to turn there, we're in 1 John chapter 4 this morning. Last week, the last section that we looked at, it specifically told us the rules of Christianity. Remember, it gave us the whole list. Everything you must do for the Christian life. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He commanded. There you go. There's your list. That's how Christianity works. And so he really kind of picks up on that in this section. But he also last week mentioned that we have the Holy Spirit. He mentioned just in one little quick spot, he mentions the Holy Spirit. And he expounds on the Holy Spirit a bit more today. So we're in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you want to read it with me, it will be up here behind me. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, even now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. So he begins by talking about, and you can already see he's setting up the dichotomy, right? He's already kind of setting up the battle that's ongoing. And he talks about the spirits that are against God and the spirits that are for God. Now, we don't normally think of the world this way, but the Holy Spirit's not the only one out there. There is another side. There is the opposing view. There is the spirit of Satan as well. And so he tells us to test the spirits, because we need to know that what we're listening to, what we're hearing, what we're following is the Holy Spirit, not the spirit from the world, the spirit of our enemy. You know, if you talk to missionaries, and we have a couple here, you talk to missionaries, they will tell you if they've been in other parts of the world that Satan's work is much more visible in other parts of the world. It's much more visible. And I can tell you from my chaplaining that it's much more visible on the reservation than it is here. You see it more. You hear about it more. You have people that see demons, and it's just much more visible. That's not how Satan works in our society. What Satan does in our society, he works through complacency. Think about this. Think about 9/11/01. What happened? We're attacked by terrorists. And what happened the following Sunday? Churches were full. And for about 2 weeks, you couldn't find a Bible because they were all sold out. Bibles were flying off the shelves. Churches were full. What about 6 months later? Yeah, you can find all kinds of Bibles and churches are back to normal. Why? Complacency. We fell into complacency. And that's how Satan works in our society. He works through complacency, through getting you to just... He doesn't have to get you to wake up in the morning and say, I am going to defy God today. All he has to do is get you, when you wake up in the morning, to not have time for God today. That's all he has to do. And we have complacency. We get complacent in our spiritual life. We get complacent and think, well, yeah, I'm going to do that Bible study, but I'll start next week because I got a lot on my plate this week. I'm going to pray today, but I got to make it short, because I got a lot of stuff. Jane used to show me she had an acrostic, busy. It's being under Satan's yoke. We get so busy that we get complacent about God. And that's how Satan works in our society. He doesn't have to be visible. He can stay and work behind the scenes and just keep us not focused on God. That's all he's got to do. That's how he works in our society. And so John tells us the spirit of the Antichrist is already in our society, and there it is. All he is doing is trying to get you not to pay attention to God. That's all he has to do. And as soon as he has you not paying attention to God, busy with your stuff, overwhelmed by your junk, not focused on God, that's all he has to do. You're off. You're off the table for him for now. So that's what John is talking about. There is two spirits in the world, the spirit of God and the spirit that's against God. And the spirit that is against God works easily in our society through complacency, through laziness, through just deciding you don't have time because you're too busy. So he talks about false teachers, false prophets, and he says that we need to test the spirits. Now, test means to critically examine to determine the authenticity or genuineness. So we need to test the spirits to see if they're from God or if they're from the world. And he actually gives us the standards here. He tells us what the standards are. He says, see if they're from God, because what is going to be the one that's from God? The one that says, believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's what he's already told us. He's already given us the standards for what is the Spirit of God. What does the Spirit of God have to tell us? This is what he has to tell you. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's what the Spirit of God says. And so we're to test it against that standard. So I want you to understand something before he actually goes on with the standard in the next verse. But I want you to stop and think about this. What this says is that each and every Christian has the spiritual discernment to know the difference. You can't say, well, I'm not given the spirit of discernment. I'm not given the gift of discernment, so I can't tell the difference. John says all of us have it. John says each of us can do this. Each of us can test the spirits to see if they're from God. We can test and see. So we each have the spirit of discernment that tells the difference, that tells us who's from God and who's not. And it's important to understand this is also the way John speaks of the spirit here. He's talking about the embodied spirit. He's talking about people. He's talking about us. So he's not talking about a battle that's going on, some esoteric battle that's going on that we never see and never think about. He's talking about the battle that's going on within us, within each and every one of us. The battle of what spirit we are following, because each of us have this battle within us, don't we? If we're honest about it, we each have this battle. Sometimes we lose. But this spirit, the way he talks about the spirit here, it's the embodied spirit. It is the motivation force within you that he's talking about. And so each of us have the ability to make the difference, to tell the difference, to discern the difference between the spirit that's from God and the spirit that's from the world. Each and every one of us have that. Now he brings up the Antichrist again, the spirit of the Antichrist, and he says it's already in the world here. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus. The kingdom of the Antichrist has come as well. And we talked about back in chapter 2 when he brought up the Antichrist. We have this vision of the Antichrist being this one figure at the end of time. John says it's everyone who is against Jesus, Antichrist. everyone who is against Christ is the spirit of the Antichrist. So he's giving us these two different sides, right? He's giving us a dichotomy again. Now, John makes life very simple. He says, you're light or you're dark. You are love or you're hate. You're a child of God or you're a child of Satan. You are motivated by God or you are motivated by the world. He doesn't give us the in-between. We like to think about life as some kind of continuum, right? Where we have the people that are really inspired by the Holy Spirit on this end. They're the really holy ones. And then we have the really evil ones on this side that are inspired by Satan. And then we have everybody else. And we like to think about them as uninspired. But John doesn't give us uninspired, does he? He gives us inspired by God or inspired by the world. That's it. Inspired by God or inspired by the Antichrist, by the one against Jesus. There's no other choice. We desperately want to live in the gray area, and there isn't any. There's no fence to sit on. There's no gray area to live in. You are love or you are hate. You are light or you are darkness. You are a child of God or you are a child of Satan. You are motivated by God or you are motivated by the Antichrist. That's what John gives us. And so he says that this is how we will know the Spirit of God. And know here is recognized by experience. So he's talking about the embodied Spirit of God that we will be able to recognize in other people and in ourselves. And he says that we can know this by the one that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. If you believe in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, then that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That is empowered by the Spirit of God. And think about this, just this phrase, confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. The idea of confesses, we've talked about in chapter 1, it's about acknowledging. It's about agreeing with God. I agree with God that's sin when I confess sin. I acknowledge the truth of who Jesus is. I acknowledge the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And then he says Jesus Christ, which again, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a title. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent by God on a mission. And he has come. Now, in the Greek, this is in perfect tense, which means it's something that happened in the past that still affects the future. He has come. But I also want you to notice that he doesn't say Jesus was at that point started. He says he came in the flesh at that point. Jesus predates the flesh. Colossians tells us that he's the creator, that everything was made by him, for him, and in him is held together. So he predates the flesh, but he came in the flesh. God intervened in human history at a point in time. And he intervened in your history at a point in time. And it changed everything after. That's what John's talking about. And he says, in the flesh, incarnate in a human body just like ours. So just in that short statement, we have the gospel, don't we? We have who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Just in that statement. Jesus is the one from God, sent from God, fully man, came in the flesh, came on a mission to save you and I. Isn't that the gospel message? That's the gospel. And so the way he states this is very particular and very strict. And by strict, I mean he carefully lays out, this is the gospel. It's the gospel message. So we have, again, the two sides. We have the side that's from God that confesses that who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and came in the flesh on a mission from God to save you and I. That's the one side. Then we have the opposite side, right? And the opposite side is the one who will not acknowledge the truth about who Jesus is. We know, all of us know people like this. We all know people like this who say, yeah, I believe in God, but not all that Jesus stuff. Well, I have to tell you again, I've said it many times, but it frankly is the best way I can think of to sum up what John says. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. If you don't have Jesus right, you cannot have God right. You cannot. Because Jesus is the ultimate revelation of who God is. And so he's our only way to God. He said so himself. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And so if you don't know him, you don't know God. So these folks that say, well, yeah, I believe in God, but not all that Jesus stuff, they don't believe in God either. Because they can't. They can't know who God is apart from Jesus. You can't know who God is. So he gives us, again, this dichotomy, this clear two sides, the one from God and the one from the Antichrist. We have these, we try and complicate life, and we try and live in gray areas that don't exist. There is the light and there is the darkness. There is love and there is hate. There is a child of God and a child of Satan. There is the one who is inspired and motivated by God and the one who is inspired and motivated by the Antichrist. That's it. That's what he gives us. He gives us those two sides. So it matters what you believe. It matters what you take as truth. Because he said, the one that's in you is greater than the one that's in the world. We only have that power. And if you don't believe in Jesus, if you are not inspired by Jesus, then the one that's in you is the world. It's either the one that's greater than the world or the one that is the world. And that's our only choices. That's the only choices. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 12. He said, if you are not for me, you are against me. If you do not gather with me, you scatter. Jesus didn't give us gray area either. Jesus didn't build a fence for us to sit on. There is no fence. There is no gray area. You are for or you are against. And that's just the way John presents it. And he says, they are from the world. The world is their source. Therefore, they speak from the world. They speak the world's language. What is the world's language? Greed, lust, envy, hate, darkness. That's the world's language. What do we hear when we watch the 10 o'clock news? Greed, hate, lust, envy. That's what we hear. That's the world's language. That's what they speak. And then he says, but we are from God. They're from the world. We are from God. They speak in greed and lust and hate and envy. We speak in faith and we speak in love. Remember, believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. We speak in faith and love. They speak, the world speaks in these other languages of greed, hate, envy, darkness. So we again have this clear dichotomy. And I keep bringing it up because we don't look at the world this way. We don't look at the world as either for or against. We don't look at the world as either light or darkness. We look at the world at twilight or some sort of gray that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Jesus again said, if you are either for me or you are against me. He didn't say you're for me or you're against me or there's those that haven't decided yet. He didn't say that. He said you're for me or you're against me. John says you're from the world or you're from God. There's your choice. The simple choice. We don't think of our world in the way that John presents it, but it is the way that all of Scripture presents it. It's the way that all of Scripture makes it. Just as last week I talked about when I say the list for Christianity, everything you must do for Christianity, here's your list. Believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. I said we like to add to that, right? We add to this too. We try and squeeze apart the for and against and put gray area in. Those who are uninspired, those who haven't made their decision yet. None of that is scriptural. What is scriptural is for and against. What is scriptural is light and darkness, love and hate, Son of God, Son of the world, Son of Satan. That's what's scriptural. These verses, though, I want to point out, just like last week, it isn't about what you don't do, is it? He doesn't give us a list of stuff we don't do. And I've said, again, many times from this platform that we tend to let Christianity be defined by what we don't do. Well, we don't drink, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. John tells us what we're for. It matters what you're for. It's not about what you are against. It's about what you are for. And that's what matters. What matters is what you're for, what you accept as truth, what you accept as truth necessarily excludes all the lie, doesn't it? Because once you know the truth, then the lie lost its power. Once you know the truth, then deception's easy to see, isn't it? Think about it in any other context. Once you know the truth, then the lie, the deception, goes away. So it matters what you believe as true. It matters what you accept as truth. It matters what you're for. Are you for following Jesus? Are you for believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as I commanded you? Are you for that? Because if you're for that, then it necessarily leaves behind all of the against. That's what John's trying to tell us. That's why he simplifies life to this point, so that we will understand that you're for or against. Which are you? And I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and answer that question. Which are you? Do you believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ? And do you love others just as He commanded? Or are you against that? Because those are the two choices Scripture gives us. If you can change sides today. You can change sides right now. It's a simple prayer that you can follow along in your own words. Say, God, I know I have sin in my life. I've done things wrong. I've said things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I choose to trust that Jesus died to pay my price for my sin. I choose to trust His finished work on the cross. And so I ask you to forgive me because of His work on the cross. And I ask you to come into my life, empower me with the Spirit of God. Empower me with the truth. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor, let them know. Maybe this morning you know the truth, but you've been caught up in the lies. As you look back this week, it's been about the lies. It's been about complacency. It's been about not focused on God. Will you take this moment to ask for forgiveness for that and to make a commitment between you and God to stay focused on Him this week? Father, we thank You for this, Your word. We thank You, Father, for the reminder that there really isn't a gray area that we live in. We are living in for you or against you. As we look back over our week, we realize we have fallen into complacency. We have not focused on you. And so we ask that you help us to focus on you this week, every day. That we wake up and we look to you for our day first. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.